Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Knowing Christ Ministries Half Hour, or as we like to think of it, the 30 minutes during which we focus on our Lord Jesus Christ, the one true Son of God Almighty. I want to wrap up our discussion on maintaining your focus on God in the midst of chronic illness when married or in a committed relationship. We've been talking for the last 3 weeks about the need to first place your focus on God, second, place your focus on your marriage, and only then focus on your illness or that of your spouse or fiancé. 3 weeks ago, we provided a brief introduction to our lecture series and book entitled God, Marriage, and Illness. And 2 weeks ago, we examined where your focus is. Last week we talked, and I apologize, there were times I did get carried away, and I guess I spoke a bit louder than I might have had to. But last week we talked about some of the challenges that can derail your focus. My premise in examining areas in your life is that I believe if you're aware of potential pitfalls, then you're armed and prepared to avoid them in the future. We went through quite a lengthy discussion, including a tremendous number of questions to make you think. And although our book, God, Marriage, and Illness, contains quite a lengthy discussion of these areas, I believe very strongly that although there are a lot of similarities in the way individuals and couples react to chronic illness in the relationship, I also believe it's a very unique and personal challenge that you go through. Therefore, the workbook and questions asked last week were designed to help you examine the areas specific to you and your relationship that can cause you to lose that focus on God first and then your marriage. And only then, as you focus on illness. So, as I did last week, I strongly urge you to listen to the entire 3 previous broadcasts in this series, either from a download on our Knowing Christ Ministries Facebook page, or from our Knowing Christ Ministries page on Blog Talk Radio, or from our vast library of iTunes podcasts, as I don't have time to recap them here, as we have an awful lot to talk about as I try and wrap this up today. So, after examining where your focus is, if it's not on God first and your marriage second, and then examining what in your lives derailed that focus, I want to explore how to regain and maintain your focus on God today. 2 weeks ago, I asked you a series of questions to help you determine where your focus is and to identify if you may have lost your focus on God along the way due to the illness and why or when that might have happened. Well, today I want to help you refocus your life and marriage on God. While the suggestions I'm going to touch on today are not exhaustive by any means, they should provide a solid foundation from which to help you regain that focus on God and your relationship with Him, while nurturing your reliance on God for the success of your marriage despite the presence of illness. But before I get into my own suggestions, once again, you need to take a good look at what you may have already tried that either worked or didn't work. Or perhaps you weren't even aware you had lost your focus or have a need to gain a godly focus. So if this is where you are, I'm going to go through questions for those who did, in fact, lose their focus. And you can think about how these might apply to you potentially in the future. What are some of the ways you've tried to regain a focus on God in the past? What are some of the ways your spouse or fiancé has tried to regain a focus on God in the past? And were these individual methods, or were they methods that the two of you used together to help strengthen your marriage by placing God at the core? Why did you select the methods that you did? And what were the most successful methods that you identified that enabled you to regain your focus on God in the past? And what was the least successful? Was it the same for your spouse or fiancé? And finally, what were the past results in your marriage or committed relationship when you tried to regain a godly focus? Perhaps until listening to this radio series or working through the workbook, as you've been listening to this series, you haven't even realized the need to focus on God as the primary factor in your marriage paradigm. Similarly, you didn't realize you had eyes focused on your illness or the illness of that or your spouse or fiancé. You might not have even realized the difference placing your focus on God makes to a marriage. So, although this is about couples, most of you listening are listening to this broadcast from a podcast or download off of Facebook. So, before I get into some suggestions on how to regain and restore your focus on God in the marriage, from a couple of perspectives. I'm going to give a few recommendations right now on how you can restore your focus on him as an individual. I think if you regain your focus first as an individual, then there's a greater likelihood that you'll regain your godly perspective when it comes when you and your spouse or fiancé come together as a couple to achieve a godly focus first in the marriage and achieve that God, marriage, and illness paradigm that I've been talking about. Okay, so here's some recommendations for you as an individual, and these apply whether you are whether you're the chronically ill partner or the healthy one. Number one, spend quiet time on a daily basis reserved specifically for communing with God and for prayer. If you're too busy throughout the day, remember, you're too busy to hear what he has to say, and you're also being too busy, just being busy, to seek his help in your life. In this quiet time, learn to pray. While prayer may seem like it's a formal process, the most intimate prayers are those offered up in conversation with Christ. So don't be afraid to talk to him. He's there to listen to you, and unlike many people, he actually hangs on your every word. Pray for your spouse or fiancé. Pray for your marriage. Pray for healing and recovery for both illness and your marriage. Pray for help in restoring him as the focus of your life and your marriage. Number two, maintain a godly focus throughout the day. Read God's word daily in a peaceful environment where you can read what his love letter is saying to you and what advice he's trying to teach you. And in that same vein of trying to maintain a godly focus, number three, I believe, surround yourself with daily devotionals, godly friends, and worship music. While listening to worship music, sing to the Lord. Find some scripture-based music and surround yourself with that all day long if you need to, for example, as background music while you work, when driving, etc. Number four, you need to examine your life and your normal daily activities. And after examining your life, undoubtedly you're going to see some activities that may seem innocent, but that are not healthy for a godly life and marriage. Examples of innocent activities include Facebook postings and excessive attention, particularly to pages that focus on illnesses. You may find the adage, misery loves company, as true, and you may have learned a lot, but you don't need to surround yourself with people whose primary focus is on illness, because they're going to draw you in and keep your focus there too, and not upon God or your marriage. Similarly, you need to remove bad habits such as exchanging emails or phone calls, meetings, lunches, or more with individuals who are leading you into a sin-based life rather than one fostering godly pursuits. While not all of these are sinful, anything that keeps your eyes on you are the same things taking your eyes off of God and usually off of your marriage as well. Now, I'm going to repeat that because this is important. While not all of these are sinful, anything that keeps your eyes on you are the same things taking your eyes off of God and usually off of your marriage as well. If you're having a difficult time in this step, ask God to help you change. Ask him to change you, to help change your heart, and to help change your marriage. He can do what man cannot. He knows that, and he's just waiting for you to simply ask for his help. So I've gone through the individual things that you can do just for yourself. And now I want to go through some things that as a couple you can do together to regain and maintain your focus on God first, your marriage second, and then deal with the illness. And yes, some are easier to achieve than others, particularly when chronic illness is involved, and we'll discuss that. First and foremost, number one, pray together. Whether or not it's simply the act of praying before each meal you eat together, praying together serves a number of purposes. It brings the two of you together before him in a dedicated and purposeful contemplation and thanksgiving. It also focuses the two of you upon God, if only for those few minutes in prayer. I also believe a couple that prays together is stronger than couples who do not pray together or pray at all. After all, if your marriage is viewed as an entity that is God-focused, that was brought about by God, that exists to serve and glorify him, then it stands to reason that in order to refocus your marriage and life on God, that you would pray together as a couple, doesn't it? You may say, well, that may be good for some people, but our lives are very fragmented and we don't have time to pray together. That's the same thing as saying you don't have time for God. Other excuses I've heard include, I'm hardly able to cook anymore, so we don't eat at home, therefore we don't pray before meals. Well, to that I ask, why not? One of the joys in our life, my husband and mine, is praying and giving thanks to God every day, whether we're at home at the dining table, the salad bar at a grocery store, or at a formal restaurant. So yes, my husband and I pray before meals when we're outside of the home as well. Your reverence for Him, your desire to glorify Him, and your passion to thank Him for all He has and does provide should not be limited to the confines of your home or your church setting. So if at all possible, I strongly recommend that you pray together just before you go to sleep at night. After rolling over to turn off the lights, roll back together, hold hands, face each other, and pray together. What purpose does this serve? Once again, praying together at night serves a number of purposes. First of all, it's virtually impossible to come before Him in prayer with angst in your heart. Prayer is a universal language that brings you to the heart of God. When praying together, it should also be the universal language that brings you into each other's heart. Scripture tells us not to let the sun go down with anger in your heart. If it exists, prayer should help take that away, especially if you actively pray that He lift the anger you feel or perceive your spouse or fiancé carries in his or her heart. Once again, there should be no obstacles to this practice. For example, perhaps you both go to bed on different schedules or your fiancé or spouse works a night shift. That shouldn't be a barrier, but make it an opportunity. After all, with today's technologies, you can do a video chat to pray together. You get the idea. Don't let an inconvenience grow into something insurmountable. Nothing's insurmountable for God. Nothing should be so insurmountable in your life as to keep you and your spouse or fiancé from enjoying prayer together or from seeking God. Secondly, praying together as it does over meals brings the two of you together in unity before Him in prayer. Praying in the morning and evening is critical to help regain your godly focus together. If you start your morning and end your day in prayer together, you're seeking to return your focus to God in an active manner. And third, the evening prayer should also be a time for each of you to pray for each other as well as for yourself. Often hearing what each other's prayers for you are, it serves to strengthen the marriage as you hear what may really be on the mind of your spouse or fiancé that you might feel otherwise goes unsaid or unnoticed. And of course, the reverse is true. It gives your partner the opportunity to know what it is you're thinking of and praying for with respect to your life and marriage. Particularly when illness is an aspect of your marriage, you might be surprised hearing your partner's prayers. For example, suppose you believe your spouse or fiancé did not fully understand or acknowledge issues related to your health, yet in prayer, the words show he or she really does understand and seeks to bring them before God. Number two, attend church together. If you have found a church you're comfortable attending, you should continue to attend as a couple. When illness is involved in your life, it's easy to make excuses for not attending. However, attending church together can be a very strengthening activity for your relationship and to help you focus on God as you worship together. If formal church attendance is difficult due to limitations the illness may place on you as a couple, then you might want to either join an existing home church or start one of your own. Many churches offer this option as a small group for those who have difficulty attending the regular services. In fact, actually starting a home church might work well for you if you have trouble with transportation or other issues involving going in or out to a public venue or event. However, a word of caution is in order. If you start or join a home church, it can be you need to be very careful not to engage in or with one that becomes illness-focused because of the needs of you or other couples. The purpose of attending church together, even a home church, is to focus on God, to worship Him, and to glorify Him. It's not to focus on illness and not to have a home church setting become another pity party or support group that's focused on illness. Number three, read God's Word together. Just as I talked about the as an individual recommendation, it's also a wonderful suggestion for couples. Reading Scripture together is a great opportunity to help refocus your marriage and life on God. God's Word provides inspiration. It may be you read a passage that you've looked up on a particular source or need to answer or address a situation. You may know your spouse or fiancé is struggling with something, or you may be struggling. Using scripture to understand and explore God's message of help can only help draw the two of you closer towards refocusing your lives and marriage on God. Reading scripture together draws a natural godly focus to your life, particularly as it gives you the opportunity to jointly discuss how a particular verse or chapter you're reading applies to your lives and your marriage. After all, what better way to honor God and each other than apply His word to your life? So, I strongly recommend that you pray before reading God's word as well, and seek His guidance to impart the words to your heart and soul that He seeks to tell you, to soften your hearts and minds so that you can avail yourselves of His wisdom. And of course, pray that by reading His word together, that you and your marriage are drawn closer to Him. Similarly, I recommend praying after you've read scripture, thanking Him for His message, thanking Him for His teaching, and thanking Him for the opportunity to devote and rededicate your marriage to Him. Number four, read and discuss couples' devotionals together. Similar to reading God's Word together, reading and discussing couples' devotionals that are based in God's Word often achieves the same result. You discuss how God's Word can be applied to your life. Number five, find a couple to mentor you. In the course of your Christian walk, you've probably come across couples that have been married for many years that look just as happy and in love now as you imagine they were the day they married each other. Having another godly couple to associate with on a regular basis who can serve as mentors to help you regain or maintain your focus on God would be highly advantageous. These individuals can help role model and teach you how to maintain a godly focus for your marriage. And the mentoring couple can also serve as a man-based, man-based accountability partners for the both of you. While in my mind, your ultimate accountability for maintaining a godly focused marriage is between you and God, having other people to help monitor your progress and guide you back on course when your marriage focus wavers can be very advantageous. Many people and couples cannot do this on their own, and they need help in that process. So particularly if the mentoring couple has illness in their marriage paradigm, they will definitely understand the struggles you're both facing, and they'll also understand and help you realize the criticality of maintaining a God, marriage, and illness-focused paradigm rather than an illness, marriage, and God focus. But once again, if your mentoring couple has illness in their relationship paradigm, just like a home-based church group, you need to make sure this doesn't become a pity party. So before I wrap up here, I'm going to ask you a few more questions. Based on the recommendations provided or others you may have thought of, what are some of the activities that you can see yourself actively initiating to help you regain the focus of your marriage on God? What do you believe are some of the activities you believe your spouse or fiance would be interested in to help maintain or regain that focus on God? What activities can you commit to initiating to help you refocus your marriage on God? And how long are you willing to make your commitment for? Do you believe this is the same period of time your spouse or fiancé might be willing to commit to? And if not, how are you going to handle that? What do you believe some of the barriers, if any, you might encounter trying to initiate some of the refocusing activities into your relationship? And how do you think you might overcome them? What changes in yourself are you going to be looking for, or do you expect to see in yourself as you regain your focus on God? And the same question about your fiancé or spouse. What changes do you expect to see in them as they regain their focus on God first, and then the marriage, and then upon the illness? So now I want you to think about your life before illness was a part of your marriage or a committed relationship. And if there was such a time, and where your focus was at that time. Now, it may seem strange that I ask you to think about your life without illness and where your emphasis on the God, marriage, and illness paradigm would be for you and your spouse or fiancé, but this is really a critical area for examination, as many individuals turn to God only in times of trial or crisis. So while I'm not saying it's not good to come before God at times like this, I just want you to question where your focus might be if illness is not a factor in your relationship. Would it still be on God first and then your marriage? Or would it be on the marriage and then God? Or would it be on you and then marriage and God? So I just want to, you know, you need to clarify that in your own mind. It seems to be human nature to seek out individuals we know who can help us at a specific time or through circumstances. And once things are resolved and we no longer need their attention, we no longer depend on that person as much. Well, in many cases, we no longer even talk to that person who helped us through a crisis, moving on with our lives in a different direction. And that's often the situation when people come before God praying for a miracle to their situation, whatever that might be. People tend to look to God as a miracle worker and an order taker. They seek him out only when they need him and may even make him the focus of their lives and become whatever they believe to be good Christians, going to church regularly, tithing, and or refraining from behaving in a manner inconsistent with someone walking a godly walk. And then gradually, when the crisis is no longer there, this fades away and God is no longer the focus. In the Christian marriage, whether illness is a factor or not, God must be the focus. And I've already told you too, I suffer from a lot of major chronic illnesses. There are days when the illness has affected the relationship I have with my husband more than on other days. However, it does not affect my relationship with God. It does not affect my husband's relationship with God. And it does not affect where we place God in the God, marriage, and illness paradigm. God is the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Christ will always be first in our marriage. Does that mean my pain, physical challenges, or limitations are any less important because God is my focus? Well, of course not. They're still important, but they're not something that preoccupies my thoughts. And therein lies the difference. They're important because they're issues I need to overcome to work, to go about my day and for our lifestyle. However, as I said, they're not a source of preoccupation. God is my preoccupation. So for those of you who want more comprehensive information on how together you and your fiancé or spouse can approach the God, marriage, and illness triad, I suggest you order our book for a much more comprehensive discussion, including chapters that are going to foster methods to restore your relationship with God and your spouse, despite the presence of chronic illness in your life. We've gone through a lot today, but the book will help you examine things much more on a much more deeply basis, including helping you answer some of those questions. Now remember, as alone as you may feel at any given time due to the presence of illness in your relationship, you are not alone. And I'm not talking about having someone else from an online forum to share your misery with who can relate. I'm talking about God. No matter what the situation is, he has never left your side. Much like a loving father, he has never abandoned you, no matter how abandoned you may have felt. And I'd venture a guess, if you felt that God actually did abandon you, I would suggest that the abandonment was felt when you took your eyes off of him and turned them inward because you were hurting, as opposed to maintaining the focus on him. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die for our sins. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for welcoming our focus on you during times of trial to be the safe refuge for us. And Lord, 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 we thank you for being the great physician, for being the one to heal us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Father, we know you created the institution of marriage so that we might have a mate and life partner, that we need not go through life alone. You know our hearts. You know our sorrows. You know the pain in our hearts when illness strikes and we feel alone and abandoned despite being in a committed relationship. Father, we ask that you help restore our relationships to be as they once were when we had stars in our eyes. We ask for your help and guidance when we naturally turn our eyes downward and inward upon ourselves rather than remaining on you. And it's in your ever-blessed name, dear Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen. I want to thank you for listening to us today. If you'd like more information on our speaking engagements or have us visit your church or organization, please email us at info@knowingchrist.com. Our books are available on Amazon throughout the world or off of our Facebook page. I urge you to follow us on our new platform where we'll be broadcasting live on Spreaker, or listen to us on a pre-recorded upload on Blog Talk Radio, or, of course, you can always listen to our broadcast as free podcast downloads off of iTunes. I'm waiting for our app development. We're going to be releasing the Knowing Christ Ministries app for the iOS market still in the next few weeks, to be followed by the same app for Android the following month. Prayerfully, the iOS app will be up before Easter, and shortly followed by the app for the Android market. The app will allow you to listen to our live broadcasts and also allow you to listen to our broadcast library directly from within the app. And it's also going to allow you to interact with us live while we're on the air through a chat facility. And that's very exciting to me. For updates and invitations for our new shows, please visit our Facebook page at Knowing Christ Ministries and like us. Don't just view it, like us to stay in the know. Both our publications, including the book I've been talking about on these broadcasts, God, Marriage, and Illness, can be directly ordered off of the Facebook page. And I believe there's a product icon or tab, as well as donations to our ministry can also be made off of our Facebook page as well. I invite you to join us next week. We'll probably be talking about the God prescription, which deals with God and illness as it affects you as an individual, whether you're married or not. So until then, please remember, it's not what you know, it's who you know. This is Dr. Danielle West for Knowing Christ Ministries saying, may God continue to bless you richly. Have a blessed week.